You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Honey, we're officially 100 episodes in.
Wow, that's so incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually done close to 350 episodes, but we actually have 100 full episodes.
On Tuesdays.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool. Thank you guys for listening so much.
What a journey it's been. We've been through a lot of stuff in this last couple of years.
Right, which is why we're taking a little bit of a break right now.
Just a little one, because we got to get together for season 11.
Yeah, which premieres at the end of the month.
But it's going to be good.
We wanted to re-release some of our favorite episodes that deal with some of the topical issues we're looking at right now. You know, September is Recovery Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. It's Hispanic Heritage Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, we're talking about race in the classroom right now, and people are still talking about parental alienation. So we wanted to bring you the episodes that deal with those topics. So that's what you're going to hear from us during the break.
Thank you. And we appreciate you guys so much. Enjoy the break.
Yep. Enjoy.
I'm Soleil Moonfry, and I think I'm the only one in the room that documented my entire teen years growing up in Hollywood and New York, and also that kept a like, complete chronological blueprint of their life. This is such an incredible example for metaphors in life or the way we reflect back on things, which is I was in the edit bay, and at this point, I had done so many cuts, and I finally now was cutting like a full found footage version of the documentary, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting with this incredible woman sitting beside me, and now she said to me, "Do you not look at the way you're looking at each other?" And it was like these blinders came off of me, and for the first time, I wasn't just looking at the way that I was looking at him, I was looking at the way he was looking at me, and I was like, oh my God, if I have been looking at the world my entire life with these blinders, this perspective, this perception, what else have I not seen all around me? Because I've only been looking at the world through this lens. Yes.
Imagine if, as a teenager, you saved every journal entry, every voicemail, and filmed every moment with your friends, including smoking weed and doing mushrooms, including epic late-night phone calls, including their cries for help. Actor, director, and writer Soleil Moonfry, who began her career at age 7 as the iconic Punky Brewster, recently released Kit 90, a documentary about her teenage years with her friends. Friends that included celebs like Leonardo DiCaprio, Brian Austin Green, Robin Thicke, Stephen Dorff, and David Arquette. But what would you do if 20 years later you revisited that footage and found yourself not only reliving the good times, but also seeing things you missed before with new eyes? Would you put it all back in the Tupperware for another 20 years? Or would you courageously use it to make a documentary that showed the world what happens to child actors when the cameras stop rolling? Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart-Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. In September 2018, I found myself in an all-too-familiar position. Looking around the room at the other attendees at a famed writer's retreat, I realized that I was the only Black woman in the room. When I wrote about my experience for the Huffington Post, something surprising happened. 24 hours after my piece went live, I had 568 direct messages in my inbox. These were messages from people of all races, ethnicities, creeds, and nationalities who had connected with my piece because they too had felt othered. These are the stories we want to share. This podcast is for anyone who has ever felt alone in a room full of people, which is to say that this podcast is for everyone. You're listening to The Only One in the Room, presented by Lipstick and Vinyl and executively produced by Christina Barcy. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show. And if you have an Only One in the Room story you'd like to share, you can DM us on Instagram at The Only One in the Room. Enjoy the show. We were so lucky and fortunate to catch up with actress, writer, director Soleil Moon Frye while she was at the beach with her family. And we wanted to make sure we brought you this interview, and we hope that the sound of the beautiful waves in the background aren't too distracting and do not take you away from the words and the content. So please enjoy. Soleil Moon Frye, hi. I'm so happy we're doing this.
Me too.
It's been a long time coming, and you have this beautiful setting. For those of you that are listening, please check out our YouTube page so you can see Soleil's real background.
I mean, like, literally, I keep pinching myself that this is a real background. I figure the ocean is a healing place, so I'm spending some time with the kids down here.
Yes, yes. So here's my question before we start. Your character famously had a fist fight with Rachel Green, Jennifer Aniston's character on Friends. I want to know, did it feel like a fair fight since she went all MMA on you and kicked you in the shins in order to win?
Yes, it did, because my father was a Golden Glove boxer. So he was like a four-time Golden Glove champion. So I grew up loving boxing. So I felt like it was a little unfair for me to be punching because I grew up like shadow boxing with my dad and like constantly like loving boxing. So it was very hard for me to do it without like really doing it. And she was so sweet and so lovely. And so I think it was a totally fair thing that she kicked me.
Okay. So I was always a little angry about that, but I'm glad you cleared that up. Thank you.
I remember, it's so funny. I remember going into the audition, and I think I really like I think the person that I was auditioning with didn't realize I was going to really like hit them in the arm. And I think they fell back. And I think that's probably why I ended up getting it, because it was so funny. Everybody was like laughing so hard in there because they were like, this little girl like actually can box. What?
Right? Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
I've always loved boxing since I was little.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely watch that one again tonight, huh? Thank you for that. I am Laura Cathcart-Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. But I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Yay.
Hey, Hun. Yay. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Soleil Moon Frye, even though everybody knows all about her, but I'm just going to say it anyway.
Keep saying
Soleil it. Soleil is a multi-talented actor, director, and writer that has etched her way into the industry in both television and film. She began her career as a childhood actor, where she starred as the iconic Penelope Punky Brewster in the 1984 NBC sitcom Punky Brewster. Soleil recently reprised her role as that iconic character in the multi-camera hybrid reboot of the same name. She also released her original documentary, Kit 90, that is composed of hundreds of hours of real footage of her life as a teenager in the 90s. And Kit 90 serves as blueprint for Soleil's life, featuring home videos, voicemails, audio recordings, and diary entries that she has preserved. So welcome again. Welcome,
Thank
Soleil.
You.
We're so excited to have
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. That means so much. Thank you for that warm, beautiful introduction.
Please. It is our pleasure. And I must give a shout out to Rebecca Gayhart-Dane for connecting us. I love that woman.
Love our Rebecca.
Oh, she's the best.
Me too.
Yes. And
she is magical.
Magical. Listen to Rebecca's episode. She was one of the first guests in our first season, and she's incredible. And she is like, she's like my publicist. She goes around and talks about the podcast.
I love that.
To everybody. And she loves her.
You're incredibly
her
lovable. So.
Aw. Thank you.
I agree. What did you say, hon?
I just said I agree.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I just want to go back. I mean, start off really quickly. There was a headline in USA Today where it said actress Soleil Moon Frye is urging parents to get their kids tested for COVID-19 after revealing that three of her children contracted the coronavirus. I just want to see how everybody is now.
Everyone is great. Thank you for asking. You know, as you know, I was supposed to see you a few weeks ago. And I was shocked. You know, I thought that my youngest had a cold. He had a fever. My pediatrician was incredible. My pediatrician, Jay, said, you've got to test him for COVID right away. And I was like, I just think it's a cold. And he said, no, you have to test him. We're seeing so many kids in the office that are testing positive. Tested him. He tested positive. Got the rest of the family tested. And three of the four kids tested positive. And it was so shocking because you just, first of all, you want to nurture and take care of your kids, and I'm so protective, and we couldn't trace where it came from because none of the adults tested positive, none of their friends tested positive, and so you go, oh my God, you know, where did this come from? And just wanting to take care of them and nurture them, and I think emotionally it brought up so much for me as I'm now a mommy raising four kids, and of course, you know, it's a new journey for me, so it brought up a lot of feelings around that, you know, and also I've spent, you know, so much of my time over the last few years working on testing and vaccinations, so, you know, we have test sites across the country, and I've spent so much time with the incredible honor of working with CORE on testing, where we have vaccinated, you know, over 1.7 million people. We've done testing of over 5 million nationwide. And it's really the work next to my children that I'm most proud of. So it hit home so much that this can affect anyone, and that so many children right now are testing positive, and just the awareness that we need to have and how important testing is and how important the vaccinations are, and just that awareness, you know, was incredibly important to me. And just also, you know, the deep realization, which I've held so close to, which is these frontline workers and these doctors and these nurses and these single parents and these uncles and aunts and grandparents that are really, you know, supporting each other, and how many lives have been lost during this pandemic. So it just brought up every kind of emotion.
Well, yeah, and you are the perfect person to, first of all, I think it's brave to come out and say, hey, this is what's going on in my personal life with my kids, right? Because I know as a mom how closely we guard our kids. But your work to get the word out about this is really admirable, and say that this could happen to anybody, basically.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think so many people that sometimes test positive, you know, don't want to share it because, of course, then people are like, what? You know, there's a lot of times a reaction, which I understand. At the same time, I think it's our responsibility. You know, I had to pick up the phone and call anyone that the kids had interacted with. And, you know, and those are hard calls to make. And yet, in order to get this under control, we absolutely have to be able to do the testing, to do tracing, all of those things that are so, you know, important. And also, I felt like it was important to share because of the fact that I think so many people don't realize and will think that their kid has a cold, a common cold, and then go and hang out with a grandparent or loved ones that are in, you know, potentially a more delicate situation. And so that was really the reason that I felt that it was important to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate your service in that way.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere.
They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So I want to talk about when you were a kid and you were documenting your life. You kept a diary at age 5. You were recording audio tape at 12 and filming with your video camera at age 14. And tell me if I'm right about this. You held on to everything in these big Tupperware containers?
Yes, right? I kept everything in Tupperware. From the time I was 5 years old, I kept...
Shout out to Tupperware.
My goodness. I mean, literally, I had it like... It was so wild. So 5 years old, I started carrying a diary everywhere, keeping all my diaries. 12 years old, my mom got me this little tape recorder, audio recorder. And so I would tell stories and talk into my tape recorder. And then... By the time I was a teenager, I had a video camera, and I had ended up with this video, and I just documented it all, my entire life. And then at like around 20 years old, I locked it all away, and I didn't look back at it, and just held on to it, you know, like it was in a vault for 20 years. And I think ultimately, I mean, I just think that so much of it was probably because I wasn't ready to face what was in there, you know.
Well, I was just stunned by the amount of documentation you had. Like, I kept stuff through my teenage years, nothing near, like, you must have kept voicemail cassette tapes, right?
Tons. Voicemails.
Because you have
audio then, recordings, videotapes, all of it.
Amazing. So, I was thinking, like, if I carried a video camera like you did, like from ages 12 to 19, there would be a lot of the same kind of scenes, like teenage camaraderie, late night phone calls, epic voicemails, driving on mushrooms and weed and booze. You know, we even had someone in our group, I grew up with this very kind of solid group of people that passed away far too early from an overdose. I went back to his funeral. It was like a reunion. You had so many people in your life die of overdoses or take their own lives. I was really struck by the number of deaths in Kit 90, the Hulu documentary that Scott and I have now watched. Me 2.5 times and Scott's watched twice. When you were reflecting on these losses, you talked about you wished you would have listened more. And Soleil, people are going to be listening and watching this episode during September, which is not only Recovery Awareness Month, but it's Suicide Awareness Prevention Month. Can you talk to me about that a little? I don't know how that translates. I mean, how would that work for you, listening more into helping someone who might be struggling?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's been such an incredible journey living with these ghosts of the past that were incredibly deep friendships. You know, these were not superficial relationships. These were people I really genuinely loved and love. And I think so often we don't always hear it. We don't always see it even when it's right in front of us. And so it was only by listening to these tapes and watching the videos that I could see how much pain was under the surface. And I think so often in life, we look at the world through our lens, through our perspective, and we don't get the opportunity to look at it through this multitude of experiences. And so for me, it was such a cathartic journey and also an incredibly painful journey, and yet a journey of healing. And one of the things that it taught me so much of was, you know, that sometimes those that are calling out for help are the ones that are the most quiet. And sometimes people that are trying to express themselves, we don't always, you know, see right in front of us, you know? And so there's so many, there's so many elements, I think, to mental health awareness and to pain. And what I hope more than anything is that this will help a conversation, that there's no shame in this, and that I think it is something that we need to talk about, and that there was so much insecurity and things that I realized back then at that time, and whether it was feeling elements of sexualization at a young age, insecurities, all of these things that I know I was going through and feeling. And then I think about it today and the magnitude with social media, with the like buttons, with all these things, with filters, with everything escalated so much, and what the long-term effects, you know, that it may have on our little ones. And I think it's so important now more than ever to be able to have this conversation, to not be afraid to have these conversations, and to open up the dialogue and remove the stigma, you know, that I think for so long people have had around this.
Well, gosh, I so appreciate how thoughtful you were with that answer, and I completely agree. You know, one of my charges, I'm in recovery, I'm 13 years sober, and I write about my recovery to destigmatize the idea. I have a fantastic life, right? And I have amazing people and amazing relationships, and I'm so grateful for it. I wouldn't have it if I hadn't changed what I was doing 13 years ago and gotten sober. And I want to talk about that because I think it's important for other people to be like, oh, you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to whisper about this. It's okay. It's one of the things that we deal with in life. And I think everybody knows somebody that's impacted by recovery or addiction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, what I'm really curious about is you and I are adult women talking about this. We're moms. Scott's a dad. You know, so we can be on the lookout for these things, right? When someone's quiet, when they're withdrawn, when they say something that might be troubling. But you were a kid when these things were being told to you. How do you think kids can better receive this information and be better advocates for their fellows?
I look at my kids and they, I feel like they're incredibly conscientious and aware of their friends and their own things that they work through. And it's their own self-discovery and their own ways that they cope with it. And so you want to be there as best, I think, that you can as a parent. They're also finding their own ways to connect about it and talk about it, you know? And I think that that's incredibly important. And so I think, to me, the most important thing is to listen, you know? I think that's something that I'm practicing more and more. I think so often, you know, I know for myself, I love to talk and go on and on. And what I'm trying to work on more and more is the listening part, because I think we can learn so much about each other when we just take a moment to actually listen.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, my kids they're older than yours, but they are very much aware of what's going on with their friends with a depth that I probably wasn't at that age. And but so much of social media is performative, you know, like you want to get likes and you want to be seen. But I think the fact that there are these, you know, these threads that go around about being aware of mental health issues, of women's rights, of recovery, of, you know, suicide prevention, awareness. I think those things help too. And I think our kids are listening to those and taking that direction, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you for that. So here's the other thing that I love about Kit 90 and probably just love about you was, and I'm looking for the quote on my page here, but you said that you wanted to make sure if life really happened the way you remembered it, you know, and I'm a writer, so I call that interrogating my memory, right? My memory is often a lot different than what really happened. And I'm finding this out. I've just written a memoir and had to pull out all this documentation, day planners, file of faxes, and journals just to check and see. Tell me, was it the way you remembered it once you've gone back?
So this is what's so incredible. And in so many ways, it was. And what was so amazing, too, is that not only was so much of it the way I remembered it, it was the way that other people remembered it. And I think that was one of the most profound parts of reconnecting with Danny, and such an example of our life journey, right? Which is that I remember that time so full of love and joy and fun, and that he remembered it the same way. The interesting thing about memory is that I didn't realize that he loved me as much as I loved him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, what was fascinating is that I think the teen girl in me didn't see the scope of that. And I think this is such an incredible example for metaphors in life, or the way we reflect back on things, which is, I was in the edit bay, and at this point, I had done so many cuts, and I finally now was cutting like a full found footage version of the documentary. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting with this incredible woman sitting beside me, and we're sitting in the edit bay, and I'm like, am I trying to cut a love story here? And I had watched this moment of us 70, 80, 90 times, and now she said to me, do you not look at the way you're looking at each other? And it was like the 98th time of watching the footage. And it was like these blinders came off of me. And for the first time, I wasn't just looking at the way that I was looking at him. I was looking at the way he was looking at me. And I was like, oh, my God. If I have been looking at the world my entire life with these blinders, this perspective, this perception, what else have I not seen all around me? Because I've only been looking at the world through this lens.
Yes.
And then I started looking at the world all around me, and it was as if the entire world opened up in this whole new way. And it's so fascinating because I had already sat with him and he had already told me it. He'd already said, the way I felt about you, the way you felt about me. I still, it was only in that moment. It took me that long because I think so often the programming of our youth and adulthood, you know, it's like, one of my favorite books, The Four Agreements, right? And it's like they talk about, you know, like the little girl singing, you know, and there's like those things that, you know, whether it's that we're told that we're not good enough or not pretty enough or not tall enough or not strong enough or not this or not that. And all of those things, whether it's through, you know, through kids that we have run-ins with, whether it's our own insecurities, whether it's something a parent or an uncle says, or whatever it is, that all programs inside of us, right? And we hold on to it for years and years to come, right? And so it was almost like a reprogramming of my mind.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes
sense. You know what I
mean?
It's like, it's just, and that has to do with so many things. And then I was like, you know, there's so many things in life that I think that then those programming experiences kind of then innately cause us to be afraid of certain things. And so we don't always go after our passions and our dreams that we had when we were kids. You know what I mean? And so when we can really get in touch with ourselves, and I think that sent me then into this spiritual journey of meditation and really like healing through that, when we can really like strip away to our truth and our essence and like peel back the onion, then we can be once again who we once were in our purest sense, when we did believe in ourselves, when we did have our passion, when we did have that spark. And so for me, I thought that spark was associated to youth. And when I rediscovered my inner sense, self, and my voice and all of that, it was like, oh, this is what it just means to feel alive again and be in my truth and doing what I love.
Wow. Wow. That is so much in there, and I'm just nodding my head for those of you who are just listening to us. I was nodding the whole time. I just want to say that you're talking about Danny Boy O'Connor from The House of Pain, get out your seat and jump around. He is about, what, 6'5", 6'? He's huge.
Yeah, he was about 6'5", 6'6". And it the thing that was so fascinating is, like, that was an example, and that was also what I found throughout with other people, too.
Yes.
You know, with my friendship with Brian and realizing that these relationships were as strong as I remembered them. They were even stronger than I remembered them. Do you know what I mean? And then there was this side of things that I remember New York and us being so joyful and full of light and love and happiness. And I think of someone like Jonathan Brandis and the love that was there and how pure it was. And then there was this element of not seeing what was going on under the surface, even in certain, you know, circumstances where people were saying it. And I just, at that age, I didn't hear it in the same way that I did years later.
No, and I think the idea that someone would say that to a camera, too, wouldn't compute to me that this was something that they were actually contemplating or thinking about, or that was really troubling them. The footage that you show.
I think looking back, there's a huge amount of grief and pain associated to it because you go, oh, this person was right here asking for help, and you know, and just I didn't see it, and so I spent a lot of months, you know, working through that of the things that we don't see. And again, like, I can only speak to my truth and my story and my experience, which is that I just was trying to piece together this puzzle of these pieces in the best way that I could by being authentic to the journey, and that I wasn't always going to remember every aspect, and that it wasn't a, you know what I mean? That I just tried my best to piece together with the memories that I had and what I could piece together by the videos and the diaries and what was on the tapes.
Well, I think what you did by piecing it together the way that you did, and then the documentary interviews, the interviews of you in particular, where you're reflecting back on it, I felt like it really helped me put stuff together for myself. You know, like, when these things are happening, when these things are being said, pay attention. Because that's what I felt you were telling us. Pay attention. And not like you were beating yourself up about maybe having missed some stuff, possibly. But just that here's this evidence that help is being asked for. People do ask for help. Pay attention when it happens, you know, for these people that you love.
Yeah, and I think with that also said, there's this side of it where there's people, when I look at some of the people that we lost, where the families, you know, the parents, you know, when I think of Jonathan's parents, I mean, just such beautiful parents who love him so much, you know, and sometimes I think you can have all of that love around you and still there's so much pain and suffering inside. Mm-hmm. And so with that said, that's why one of the reasons I think it's so important to be able to talk about.
Yeah.
Because there is support and help out there. It's just knowing or trying to be able to open those lines of communication, mm-hmm. you know?
And like you said, destigmatizing it. So that when someone ventures out there to ask for help, they're not immediately shut down or dismissed, you know?
Right.
So we have these conversations, and then people feel free to talk about it in a way that allows them to actually access the help that's out there. I know I need to let you go soon. I just wanted to talk to you about one more thing. I'm going to name drop for a second, because it's like,
okay,
if I told you the names of the people in my circle of friends growing up, you would know none of them. You would have never heard of any of them. They're great people.
Aww.
You would have no idea who they were. But in your circle, you had like Brian Austin Green and Mark Paul Gosselaar and David Arquette and Stephen Dorff, Helen McComb. We saw clips of Leonardo DiCaprio and Robin Thicke and Charlie Sheen. Did I see Hill Harper in there?
Yes.
I know Hill.
Yes.
I didn't know
Hill
you.
Harper played my boyfriend in a movie.
Oh, that's
yes.
so funny. He's such a great
guy.
Or
I played his girlfriend.
He's, yeah, he's totally. He's awesome. That's so funny. I was like, was that Hill? So Did you know, because what I also read about you, I don't think we discussed this, was that you were known as like the goat of child stars. You were the ringleader. You were like the one, which is why they brought back Punky Brewster with you as an adult.
But, yes,
right.
Punky.
But did you know then that you were like in this group of like just phenomenal, talented Uber? Because it was before social media. So did you know?
I felt like I was surrounded by the most colorful, amazing, beautiful, fun people, and so charismatic. You know, you could just see the charisma like oozing off of them. And I wanted to document every moment of it. And I was so fortunate that they allowed me the opportunity to just roll my camera and, you know, document everything, even though I think they probably thought I was crazy at times. I think they realize now that, like, it was the teen journalist in me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was so great that you did, because no one would have gotten that footage if you hadn't.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Right? Because now everybody has a video amazing. Camera in their phones.
Yeah.
But nobody
Definitely.
Did then. You had to make a special trip and... It was
yeah.
big.
Totally crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that we are winding down now because I want to get you out of here. I think you're going to go take a swim in that ocean behind you.
Thank you so
maybe, huh?
much. I'm ready to take a plunge. I mean, it's so exquisite, right?
It's beautiful.
Spend the day on the beach.
Yeah. Tell me.
Come
tell
visit me.
So,
I'll be out there
like,
tomorrow, so I'll stop by.
Yeah, you will, huh?
Great.
You'll
Come
wave her on her balcony. We should get her a dress after this, and you can, like, find the
Please.
Back of her house.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But, Soleil, what should people watch besides, like, they're going to watch Kid 90, right?
Kid
Everybody
90.
Should go to Hulu, watch
Please.
Kid 90. What else?
Would love for you guys to see it and let me know your thoughts. And Punky Brewster on Peacock, streaming
yes.
on Peacock. We'd love for you guys to watch Punky. Proud Family is coming back, which I'm so proud and excited about.
Love
so,
that.
So, really fun and working away here. I'm excited.
That's Ralph Farquhar, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know
Ralph
him, too.
Bruce.
I used to do his publicity.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So
Love
fun.
It. You are so much fun. You are so
Thank
incredible.
You so much.
You are, what do they say? You are... Like your name, you're one of these celestial bodies out in the world. You know, you
that
are
means the, world
the sun.
To me. Thank you so much. That means so much to me, truly. Truly.
Yes, and we will be back in contact. We'll stay in touch. Scotty will be there
Thank
tomorrow.
My surfboard.
Yes.
I'll be all wet.
And
perfect.
Yeah.
We can meditate. Great.
We might need to take a shower, you know, afterwards.
I bet she has an outside shower on the beach.
Hysterical. Yeah.
All right. Oh, and where can they find you on social media?
Oh, at Moonfry.
At Moonfry.
Moonfry.
All
Instagram,
right.
Instagram, Twitter. Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
You're amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Soleil.
Thank you, Soleil.
Thank you, you guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.